You are listening to Winning with Mainstay. The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Mainstay Financial Services, with host Bob Burgie.
Everyone's a winner, baby.
Happy Tuesday. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. My friend Bob Burgie with Mainstay Financial is here to answer any questions financially. Apparently, you brought a really cool article in a little while ago to show Mike yes. passing. But 850-437-1620. Just say hello.
Yeah. Please call us. And I hope everybody's doing well this morning. Beautiful day out.
It's
okay.
Nice, yes.
Yeah, I just I always cross paths once a week with the esteemed Mike Wiggins, and I came across an article. It was actually sent to me in my 401k statement packet, and it actually fuses botany or gardening with financial services, retirement plan. Retirement planning, social security planning, and it starts out with, you know, sow your garden, you know, water your garden, tend to your garden, you know, things like that. But I told Mike what we need to do. Imagine this, you know, gardening and retirement planning.
Yeah.
You know, in one show. But he said, let's do it. He said, you come in 20 minutes early, and I'll stay 20 minutes late, and maybe we'll do that one of these weeks. But really good article. How are you?
I am doing very well. Very, good. Very well. It's a beautiful day. I'm excited. Yeah. I feel like, you know, this is a good day to get outside, maybe get some vitamin D. You know, after this, that's what I will say.
Exactly.
Just want to remind everybody of the phone number, 850-437-1620. You know, the only thing I will say, and you can probably give a little bit more expertise on this. Well, two things. Number one, let me backtrack. We had some excellent feedback with John David Ellis last week.
Oh, good.
Everybody
good.
Really, really enjoyed what he had to say when it came to real estate, investing, just the entire market, and, you know, the correlation between, like, low-income housing and kind of, you know,
deciding.
The word gentrification that's coming up a lot more. I know it's a little touchy subject, but he did a great job, and we're still getting feedback from it. So
that
I just
is
wanted
terrific.
To mention that.
He's a great guy, and you know, we'll do that periodically.
Yeah.
Bring John David Ellis on and have
get
him
a little real
talk
estate
about
update.
Real estate, and
yeah.
and you know it weaves into the local economy, you know, so well.
Oh,
and
yes.
He and the other thing he talks about, and I love this, you know, whether to buy now, whether to buy later, how to go about securing a mortgage, you know, whether it's better at this point to rent or to own or, again, to buy. And, I mean, there's just so many things associated with real estate, and he's a, you know, just a reservoir of knowledge, right?
Well, yeah. And then so on, like, let's say that real quick. So before I get to my next point and question is you can get a lot of expertise and information from people who do not live here, right? Whether it's a podcast or a financial expert who's just looking at America as a whole or the world economy as a whole, but having a local expert, especially somebody who is from here, rooted here, established here, like John David Ellis, to give you that inside look, I think that's better because you're here. If you're going to invest here. Now, if you want to go to, you know, Flagstaff or something like that, I don't know. I just thought of the first city off the top of my head. Then go talk to an expert there.
That's right.
Don't just hear like a generalization of real estate.
Exactly. And he did share some statistics that were kind of nationwide, which, you know, he keeps up with that because, you know, that is his craft.
Yeah.
But it's always nice to hear from somebody in the business, in the know, like him, to say something like, you know, Pensacola real estate is still very affordable. mm-hmm. when you compare it to other parts of the country. And just ask anybody that's moved here from somewhere else. It is still very affordable. The other thing that I like that he pointed out is the affordability of a home right now, given the current interest rate environment, specifically mortgage interest rates. You know, lower mortgage interest rates, reduce your payment, and in essence, they're not going to make the purchase price less, but they're going to make that home more affordable over time with a fixed interest rate, and again, a fixed rate mortgage. So, yeah, good stuff last week.
You can't beat the interest rates right now. Hey, one more thing,
yes, ma'am.
And then we have a question coming in. With this all this discussion about the Delta variant and everything going on, and we have heard discussions and murmurs about the CDC possibly doing a national mask mandate.
Right.
And, you know, which could lead to closures because now people are more, you know, scared of the Delta variant. I mean, what is this going to do if we should we at all costs? I mean, obviously the answer is yes, but here locally, do you think that it's going to get to that? Do you think that we're going to avoid shutdowns because of how much the small businesses have been impacted?
What do I think? Mm-hmm. What does it matter, first of all?
But, it matters everything to me, Bob.
But, you know, okay, so I know maybe what everybody else knows, and I see what's going on in Australia, mm-hmm. specifically, lockdown. I mean, and that is a country that, for the geographic size of the country, has a very small population. Now, if you're not in Melbourne, Sydney, what is Perth, you know, some of the major metropolitan areas, you know, you may be out in the middle of nowhere.
Sure.
Okay. But those big metropolitan areas are really, for all intents and purposes, shut down right now. So I do feel that, how do I say this? I think different rules will apply based on the density of, you know, of mankind, right? I think it's going to be different in the larger cities than here, maybe not here in Pensacola, but maybe somewhere that's a little more rural. But yeah, you know, I just have no idea. I follow the news, and I think
you follow us.
Yes, yeah, I follow the news on News Radio 1620 and 92.3. But yeah, I just don't know. I hope it doesn't get to that because, you know, that's going to lead to, you know, some other thing, other undesirable things, right?
Then
the economy slows down, and
it makes you think, like, on several levels. Number one, like concerning your health, is like making sure that you're taking care of yourself. But number two, making sure you're taking care of your finances.
Exactly.
And you have that savings reservoir.
Yeah.
Set aside, which we've talked about before, of course. And in knowing, I think it was not just how much your income is, but how much your outgoing and your expenses are, and saving for that.
Yes.
In case we face possible closures, which I really hope we don't.
You know, how many times do I come in here and it's like you don't know what
Jenna's
we're talking
listening
about.
To, but
right. But it's not, it's
I'm
you
listening.
Deliver such a nice segue to what we're going to discuss today. And
Am I?
Yes, yes. Very good. Very
Listen,
good. And you didn't even
I
know
didn't
it.
I didn't even know it. But can I throw in a question real quick from one of our listeners? 850-437-1620. That's 437-1620. You can text or you can call. We'd love to hear from you. Does anyone within your excellent organization deal with investing in cryptocurrency? I knew eventually this was going to come up.
All right, you.
I didn't do it.
Okay, and I guess this listener doesn't have a name, right? Because we don't want to blast.
Bob.
Okay. Do we have a resource in our excellent organization? Yeah, we have a resource, and that's me. That's Anna Lee. That's, you know, we have some people that can discuss that. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that is something that would need to be a directed purchase, a directed investment. You know, there's not a history with cryptocurrencies, any of the, you know, anything in the blockchain space doesn't have enough history for us to make recommendations for that particular investment or investment class. Not to say that people haven't made lots and lots of money specifically Bitcoin,
sure,
Ethereum. There's been a lot of money made. There's been a great deal of volatility of late in that space. So, you know, that's a you've heard the term caveat emptor, which is Latin for buyer beware, and you're on your own on that one. If you go to any investment advisor, you will most likely hear the same thing. But know what you're buying and do your due diligence, do your research, and when you're comfortable, and I don't know at what point you would be with cryptocurrency, then you can pull the trigger on that.
Okay.
But thank you for the question.
Yeah.
Thank you for the question.
It's a hot topic.
We get asked that all the time. And usually it's something like this. What do you think of cryptocurrencies? And, you know, there's not a whole lot to think because there's not a whole lot of information for me. But anyway, okay. So today, Jenna, I want to talk about retirement plans. Retirement plans. I came across an article on, I believe it was in Forbes magazine. Actually, a friend of mine sent this to me. And it's about all of the money that has been abandoned, forgotten about in 401ks, 457bs, 401as, 403bs, or in other words, retirement, company-sponsored retirement accounts. Okay? Let me throw a few numbers your way, a few dollar figures your way, Jenna, and all of our listeners. Okay. Get this. There are over 24 million forgotten 401k accounts. This is just 401ks, not 403bs, not 401as, not 457bs. These are forgotten 401ks, 24 million of them in this country. That's amazing.
How do you forget it? Like, you know, you just forgot it's there, or,
you know, I,
or do people pass away? How do they know that it's forgotten?
Forgotten or forgot in?
Forgotten.
Let's see. How do you forget about it? How do you forget about anything? You know, you worked somewhere 20 years ago. I guess you have to be old, number one, right?
I guess so.
Okay. You have to have a space or a period of time between when you worked for that employer and the present day. So I know this. My children receive statements for about $120 or $75 for when they worked for a very short period of time for an employer, and I will send them the statement, forward it to them, and I'll say, come on, roll this over to your IRA. And do they? They don't. Or maybe they make an attempt at that. You know this. Nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody is going to be able to get on with that vendor or whoever the 401k plan provider is and make sure that it's rolled over to another person's IRA. You have to do that yourself. You are the only person they are going to talk to, absent going through all of the all of the rigmarole of having a POA on the account documented and being able to act on behalf of another person. Typically, the only person that is going to be able to roll that over is the owner of the account. But it happens. It happens a lot. You know how often it happens? 24 million times, Jenna.
That's a lot.
Yeah. 24 million forgotten or abandoned 401k balances in this country. That's amazing. All right. Now, take a stab at what the value of these 24 million abandoned 401ks adds up to. Take a stab. Come on.
Well, it's going to be more than $24 million.
That's right.
So I'll say in the I'll go into the billion range.
Okay, that's good. You need to go further.
What?
Yeah.
Ouch.
The total balance of the 24 million outstanding 401ks is $1.35 trillion in assets. Okay.
Oh no.
That's retirement money. Okay.
That's money.
So, that's just staggering. Guess how many accounts annually are added?
24 million?
No, not annually. That's the total. 2.8 million.
So annually.
On average, 2.8.
But then on average, 20, that's a lot.
I know it.
That's not a good balance.
Let me say one other thing. So just in 2013, the outstanding balance of these 401ks was half what it is now. So I think what's going on, if I can take the liberty of speculating why this is going on, you have all these baby boomers getting older, and they forgot about what they did, 20 years ago, maybe even longer. And they, this folder, this file has just been misplaced, or maybe you've moved a couple of times, and the plan provider can't locate you. And really, what are they going to do? They're going to keep sending statements to wherever you used to live, okay? And a lot of these 401ks were started before, Jenna, you know nothing about this, but they were started before the internet was out there. Yeah.
The internet's not always been around.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they can't locate you with your, email address, right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I know that I participated in plans when there was no internet. I mean, and I'm not talking about the internet was out at my house or
right.
the office.
No.
The internet did not exist. Right on.
We're still waiting for it.
Right on. No cell phones, no internet. Okay, I'm waving my hand. I'm one of them.
Kids these days, they don't even know. They don't.
Yeah, poor guys. Yeah. Okay, those are staggering numbers. So this took me to the next thing. The next item. All right. How is this being addressed? Okay, there is a new act out there. We've talked about the Secure Act, Jenna. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the Secure Act. Passed in late 2019, became law at the beginning of 2020. And the Secure Act had two items in particular that really rocked our industry. The first one, I don't want to say it rocked our industry, but made a big change. It increased the age of when you have to take required minimum distributions from your retirement plan. Okay? And if you're the owner, if you're the owner and the original owner of a Roth IRA, it doesn't apply. All other traditional IRAs, 401ks, the traditional balances of 401As, 403Bs, and everything else, there is a required minimum distribution age. And before last year, 2020, that age was 70 and a half. And that's a number you always say, how did they choose that? I can't answer that. But 70 and a half is one of those used to be milestone ages. And for some people, if they turned 70 and a half before 2020, they had to take it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, here in 2021 and any time after January 1st of 2020, the age that required minimum distributions must be taken is 72. So they gave you another year and a half. Okay, that was some big legislation associated with the Secure Act. The other item is going to change a lot in addressing wealth transfer issues, estate planning, and how parents or even families and individuals deal with the transfer of wealth and the balances specifically in their retirement plans, whether it's an IRA or in one of those alphabet soup, 1-2-3 alphabet soup type plans, 401ks, 403Bs, or even a TSP. So any retirement plan now, after January 1st of 2020, if you died with it, the beneficiary could take that amount out, could take an amount out, okay? I haven't discussed how much it is, but they could stretch that out over their lifetime. And therefore, it was called a stretch IRA. Very simple, okay? Makes sense, mm-hmm. right? You die, and let's say you're in your 70s or 80s, and you leave it to somebody in their 50s or maybe even their 40s, or let's say you bypass your children and leave it to your grandchildren. You shouldn't have to take it out, you know, right then and there. You're in your earning years. You got a job. You don't need the income, right?
Right.
So you take a little bit out over your lifetime. It's a nice income supplement, and everything's good. Well, that was, of course, the stretch IRA, and that was prior to January 1st of 2020. If you died after January 1st of 2020, that's gone. It has to be distributed within 10 years to all non-spouse beneficiaries or any beneficiary that is more than 10 years younger than the original owner of the plan. Okay, there are some exceptions. Okay, and I would be remiss without if I did not mention these. Children with disabilities, or anybody with disability.
Sure.
And then leaving it to minor children. So if you worked, you know, and let's say, God forbid, you died in your, you know, 30s, and you let your beneficiaries are your children, mm-hmm. that 10 years does not begin until they reach the age of majority, 18 years old, okay? So they have 10 years from the time they turn 18. That's not great either. Can you imagine having to take out your parents, your deceased parents' IRA assets within 10 years starting when you're 18.
Yeah.
So it's not great, but no. It's going to open the door to a lot of planning, a lot of advanced planning. And that's something we do, and it's something that everybody needs to look at, because those stretch IRAs are gone unless the original owner passed away before January 1st of 2020. And anybody passing away after January 1st of 2020 their beneficiaries are subject to the 10-year rule, with a few exceptions. Spouse, a beneficiary that is less than 10 years younger, okay? Like if you leave it to a sister that's 9 years younger than you, mm-hmm. that's okay. They can use their lifetime. And then, of course, disabilities, people with disabilities, and minors, okay, where the clock doesn't begin until they reach the age of majority. So that is the SECURE Act. Jenna, guess what is on the horizon and is in the House and the Senate right now? The SECURE Act 2.0. That is what they are calling it. Very interesting. Let's talk about this act and all of this information that I'm sharing with our listeners today. This is all information that I have accumulated that was published in the last 10 days, okay? One of them in particular was published, 4 days ago? 4 days ago on, Market Watch, okay? And it talks about what the SECURE Act 2.0 is bringing to the table. Very interesting. Let me share with our listeners the first thing. Remember how I talked about the SECURE Act changing the RMD age from 70 and a half to 72? If this passes, and I should share with our listeners, this is receiving a lot of bipartisan support, meaning both parties, you know, this benefits everyone. There's nothing that's really agitating either side, because who can't get behind retirement planning and retirement savings for the citizens of this country and the hardworking people of this country? So again, it's a bipartisan bill, and it's being supported by really everyone. So it is going to pass. But there are 10 characteristics of this. The first one is you get to wait until a later age to take your RMDs. If you reach a certain age, it would increase to age 73 if you it would increase to age 73 after January 1st of 2022, would increase to age 74 after January 1st of 2029, and it would increase to age 75 after January 1st of 2032. So if you're about 61 years old right now, all right, we're going to Mark, right?
Yeah, we're going to go to Mark, but we'll pause.
Well, yes, we'll pick up with this.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Stocks are lower. The Dow Industrials down 159 at 34,985. The NASDAQ's down a sharp 253. The S&P 500 off 32. Orders for cars, appliances, and other durable goods increased in June, signaling continued strength in the U.S. economy as manufacturers continue to deal with shortages in parts and labor. New orders for products meant to last at least 3 years increased 0.8% from May. Orders were revised to a 3.2% increase in May from the previous estimate of 2.3%. General Electric today lifted its free cash flow forecast, bringing back its iconic rock. First used in the 1890s, the insurer is hoping to shine a light on the symbol as it emphasizes hope during the pandemic. That's Your Money Now.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, Spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
What? What? Okay, that. No, okay. That's
you.
A surprise. Now,
I know.
What does it say? Something about save?
The song is called I Believe That We Will Win.
Oh, I'm
it's
sorry.
It's a very positive message.
I believe
pretty
that
much
we will
like,
win. Okay.
You get knocked down, you're going to
get back
song.
Up. Hey, that's
a great
song. I get knocked down, but yeah. I get up again.
I actually like the part. It's like,
and you're never going to keep
if
me
you,
down.
If you hit, you better swing hard because when I come back. Listen.
Okay.
We went that with the finances.
We just went from winning to swinging. Okay. Throwing punches.
Throwing punches.
All right.
Throwing punches, Bob.
All right.
At the money.
Okay.
We're having now, fun here. 850-437-1620.
All right. So, the Secure Act 2.0. Sounds like I made that up, right? I'm sure they're not going to call it that. But the Secure Act 2.0 proposes a lot of things. And before the news break with Mark Jacobs, we were talking about that 71.5 that just became 72 beginning last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we're talking about the age that you must take your required minimum distributions from retirement assets. Okay. That would be raised to 73 in the year 2022. 74 in the year 2029. So we're not skipping 1 year. We're skipping, what is that, 7 years. Mm-hmm. And age 75 is when you would have to start taking your RMDs in the year 2032, 11 years from now. So, I think if I'm doing my math correctly, 72 now minus 61 in 2032, that means... if you're 61 or younger now, and if this bill passes,
mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have to take your RMDs till you're 75 years old. Wow. A lot of tax-deferred savings and growth going on there. You hear me?
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the next thing with this Secure Act 2.0. Do you say 2.0 or 2.0? 2.0?
2.0.
Okay, 2.0.
Yeah, it's way more schnazzy.
I don't know. Okay.
2.0. No.
Okay. Well, it is a zero. It's not an O.
It is a zero, but, you know, America, we just do whatever we want.
When somebody asks me if I have, how much money I have in my pocket, do I say O?
You see,
I say zero.
Because when you say zero, it sounds like nothing. You know what I
mean?
Sounds
very condescending.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you're like, listen, I am Jenna 2.0.
All right.
I
you
am
know
Bob
what? You know what?
7.0.
Sit back and listen. We've got some important information to cover. And we have nine more characteristics of this Secure Act 2.0. All right.
Can still ask a question,
yeah,
too.
You can still call us. Yes. Call us. Please call us. 850-437-1620. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you need to schedule a time to speak with me or Annalee or any of us one-on-one, please call our office at 850-437-3127. And Hillary or Paola or one of our folks will be glad to set up a face-to-face appointment or a telephone call or even a Zoom call. All right. So the second one is your employer can automatically enroll you in the 401k or 403b. I use a 401k generically because that is the most common employer-sponsored retirement plan. So they can automatically enroll you into the 401k. And I like that because how many people do you know, they go to another job, and by law, if a 401k is offered, you have to be eligible with no more than 1 year after you started, okay? That usually applies to full-time employees, but we'll get into some other aspects and nuances of that. But automatic enrollment at 3% of their pay, 3% of their gross pay. I like that. If you do nothing, it defaults to enrolling you. If you do nothing now, you never get enrolled, right? So I like this. So that's the second. That's the second component of this Secure 2.0 Act. Another aspect, and I like this, you can earn extra incentives for contributing to your retirement plan with your employer, such as you can receive a gift card, a gym membership, some sort of incentive, or you know, anything. You know, I don't know, movie passes. I don't know how many people go to the movie theater anymore, but, you know, we all liked doing that at one time. So, you know, just think of gift cards for anything, all right?
Mm-hmm. I like gift cards a lot.
I do, too.
They make me feel very special.
Yes.
And very powerful at the
That's
same
right.
time.
And you know, the best thing is they don't take up any square footage at your house.
And now
right?
there's digital ones that are sent to your email, and then you just like hit it, you know, slide it, swipe, and then boom, hey, I want to pay for my stuff through my phone. It's great. I love
it. It's awesome. And then you get what you want instead of somebody getting you something, you know, like a housewarming gift that, you know, maybe you don't want displayed at your house, right? You know, things like that.
Yeah.
I'm just gift
like
cards.
Gargoyles or something.
Gargoyles, right. Or how about, I'm going to get you one of those paintings, you know, that you used to see in those basements, you know, with the dogs playing poker, you know?
Those are so cool.
They are. I think those are nostalgic. They're kind of retro now.
Okay. I think they're like, you know, you're wondering like, I wonder how this conversation's going. Like Milk-Bone versus Pedigree. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
I've got a great painting that my wife got me. It's an original. Have you heard of the painter or artist Ashton Hayward?
What? Like our
Ashton Hayward.
Like our...
No, not our mayor.
No?
Not our mayor.
But now how cool is that? No, I'm Googling.
He's an artist. He's an artist here in town. Anyway, he's fantastic. And he wasn't commissioned to do this, but she bought an original from him of the dude in the Big Lebowski. And I just love it. It's so cool. Okay.
Yes,
tell me.
Give me Howard.
Howard. Yes. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Hayward Howard. Same thing, right?
He's incredible.
Ashton Howard. Yes, he's an amazing local artist. And okay, you got me off track.
I'm sorry.
Okay, we were talking about the incentives for enrolling in your employer's qualified plan. Okay, they can give you gift cards or any other incentive for enrolling in the plan. And remember, a lot of these plans have testing requirements. You can't just have everybody, you know, on the 20th floor or in the executive offices participating in this plan.
Right.
You know, there are testing requirements and you know, that's a whole different conversation. But, you know, ERISA requires that it be made available and be participated in terms of certain percentages by everyone in the company. Okay. And so I love the automatic enrollment. I love the incentives for enrolling in the plan. You can make bigger catch-up contributions to your retirement plan under the SECURE Act 2.0. Okay.
Okay.
And these numbers are mind-boggling. If you are between the ages of 62 and 64, let's say you're approaching the end of your career with this company, you can contribute an extra $10,000 to your retirement plan. That's in addition to the $26,000 you can already contribute because of your age. You're over 50 in a 401k.
Oh,
okay, you're looking at me. Do we have a question?
I do have. I have several. Not me, but yes. Okay. So here's the first one from one of our listeners. She would like to know. This is a question about the required distribution age change. Is the minimum age for distribution of 59.5 changing as well?
Negative.
No.
Good. 59.5 is permissible. That's when you may take your money out with no penalty. If you take it out before 59.5, most of the time, unless you take it directly from your employer and you retired at age 55 and they're substantially equal periodic distributions, let's not get into that. For the most part, 59.5 is the earliest age you can take money out of a retirement plan. That's when it is permissible. At age 72 now, it is mandatory. So permissible at 59.5, mandatory at age 72. But then again, under this new SECURE Act 2.0 legislation, it would raise the age to 73, 74, and ultimately 75 in the year 2032. So thanks for the question. And you said you had another question.
Yes. Okay. Here's another question. So the first one, it says, I worked at a swimming pool fund in my hometown as a lifeguard. And I know I contributed to a plan, but I have no idea how to find out what I have. Are there any suggestions in being able to find out where the plan is?
Okay. It's probably a long time ago, lifeguarding at a pool. I don't know how old this listener is, but you know, I would call it sounds like maybe it was a public pool, a municipality.
Yeah.
You know, call the Parks and Recreation Department, find out who the plan provider is.
Sure.
You know what? The local government or the municipality or whoever
public
runs
records.
They are not going to have that information, but they can give you a number or at least some contact information to find out. And yeah, go get that money.
Do you think that's one of those 401ks that's just floating around out there in outer space?
Yeah, it's, and you know, let's be clear, it's not a 401k unless you're working for a private company. It might be a 401A. It might be a different type of plan if you're working for a municipality. But yeah, I mean, they're out there.
Yeah.
You know, there's 24 million of them, Jenna.
You should probably
check
on that.
$1.35 trillion.
I wonder if I'm one of those people. Now that I think about it.
Did you work somewhere?
I did.
And
I could have.
You know, and you don't, it's not always what you contributed. Sometimes there's, there's lump sum pension balances, and they lost track of you. That's not included in the 401k numbers
I just read.
Okay. Is that it on the questions?
Okay. So 850-437-1620 is 1047 here. Winning with Mainstay Financial. Bob Burgee is here to answer your questions, whether it has to do with retirement, cryptocurrency, or you need a little life advice.
Okay.
I'm sure he'll help you. So this one says, I have worked with my company for 6 years, but have not enrolled in the 401k. Because there is no matching contribution. Should I enroll?
That is a great question, and here is the answer. Just yesterday, I met with somebody that was thinking about 10 years ago, maybe I shouldn't enroll in my employer's 401k.
Sure.
Because there was no matching contribution. For a lot of reasons, she did anyway, and that's awesome because this is a 401k with a profit sharing feature. So although there was no matching contribution, there was a profit sharing feature to this 401k, and what that means is when the company is making money, they and I don't know how it's calculated, but they will make a contribution on behalf of every employee to their 401k balance. Now, although there's not a matching contribution dollar for dollar on the first 3% and 50 cents on the dollar for the next 3% up to 6%, there is a profit sharing feature. And this individual has done extremely well in her 401k, and it did not have a matching contribution. I want to point out a few other things, a few other considerations, and this one's more, I would say, more psychological. Remember, when you're contributing to a 401k, that's money that never hits your hand, your bank account. It's going right in there. Okay, you know, you don't miss what you never had. Okay, and you just enroll in it, that money goes in there, and it never goes, like I said, into your checking account or however you're paid by your company. But, you know, again, you don't miss what you never had. Now, it's going into an account, and it's still yours, but, you know, most people say, if there isn't a matching contribution, why don't I just contribute the $6,000 a year to a traditional IRA, or $7,000 a year if you're over age 50 with a catch-up contribution? And yeah, that's great, but you know, are you really going to get around to that? Are you really going to be so disciplined that by the end of the year, or before April 15th of the following year, to make a contribution for the year prior to your traditional IRA? Or even your Roth, which is the same, $6,000 or $7,000, depending on your age. And I don't like most people's chances of having the discipline to do that. So again, if you can, you know, just because there's no matching contribution is not a good enough reason for me to not participate in your company's 401k. The only other thing I'd say is you do have more choices in your own individual retirement account, your IRA. You do have more choices, but again, you got to be disciplined, and not all of us are, right, Jenna?
Not all of us are. Yes, I agree with you.
Okay. All right. So, all right. No more questions, right?
So you're done.
Okay.
Cut off.
So,
no, I'm just kidding. Yes, please ask your questions.
Okay.
We have about 8 minutes left.
Okay. You're going to love this one. All right.
Which number are we on?
We are on number five.
Five.
Okay.
Halfway through.
And a lot of times we go back, and I don't think we're going to have time today, but this one is a real game changer. Okay. You can earn employer matching funds that, instead of going into your 401k, can be used to pay your student loan debt. Okay. So you enroll in a 401k. You can, in lieu of receiving a matching contribution, have that same amount applied to your student loan debt. I love that, okay? So you have the choice of, you know, I think both ways you're planning for your retirement, certainly your future, in whether to have this money that is non-taxable, because it never hits your hand. It goes right into, you know, to pay off Sallie Mae or whatever student loan entity that you know that that holds your student loan balances. I really, really like that. I'm going to say this real quick. My daughter has a lot of student loans because she went to a private school. She went back and got her MBA. And her employer right now, and this is what I love, it's a big company. And they not only reimburse her for the tuition she pays once she gets her grades and gets good grades, they reimburse her for her tuition. She has to come up with the money up front. But they also pay off $10,000 a year in student loans.
Wow.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
That's huge.
That's a big employer, and she's out in Denver, and she loves the fact, you know, that makes it really difficult to leave, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty big incentive.
But
right
anyway,
there.
Imagine being able to contribute to your 401k and 100% of your, not your contribution, but your employer's matching contribution. So you have to contribute yourself to get the matching contribution, but the matching contribution, instead of going into your 401k balance, goes to pay student loan debt. I really like that. And that is that's something that could help a lot of people. All right. All right. Remember what we started with? All of the lost 401ks?
Yes.
24 million of them, totaling $1.35 trillion in assets. Okay. The Secure Act 2.0 would create an organization. And I can't remember the name of it, but there's the sole purpose of this entity would be to match these lost balances or abandoned balances of 401ks with their owners. And there is a name for it. It escapes me right now, but I like that. I like that. Okay, so that we are through six. We've just got a couple more. Number seven.
That.
All right. You can contribute to Roth IRAs in more ways. Okay. Right now, simple plans, SEP IRAs, don't have a Roth feature. Okay. A lot of people don't know this. You're just contributing to traditional balances. This would allow these types of plans to have Roth features. And who wants to contribute to a Roth, Jenna? Somebody that isn't making a ton of money, somebody that is maybe early in their career, and they don't get as much of an income tax benefit by contributing to a traditional balance as they, and for that reason, they contribute to a Roth feature and go ahead and pay the taxes on it. It makes sense for most young people that are early in their career. If you are in the peak earning years of your career, you probably don't want to do that, okay? But under the Secure Act, companies that offer a 401k plan would be required to allow employees who work at least 500 hours. Okay, think about that. Full-time employment is typically, the benchmark for a full-time employee is 2,000 hours a year. You know, 40 hours a week, 50 weeks out of the year, 40 times 500, 2,000, right? 40 hours a week. No, gosh. 40 hours a week times 50 weeks out of the year. That's 2,000 hours, all
yes.
right? This would allow employees who have worked 500 hours per year for the last 3 years with the same employer to be eligible for their 401k with their employer. That's really great because you're not even half-time. Okay, you're working 500 hours a year. Okay, if you work 50 hours, or excuse me, if you work 50 weeks out of the year, that's only 10 hours a week, and you can be contributing to a 401k.
That's not.
Yeah, that's really lowering the bar, right? To savings and retire and really saving
but it's
for your
more
retirement.
People. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. That's number eight. We're on to number nine.
Number nine.
Savers in a 403b plan would have more investment options, okay? Right now, that's typically annuities and only mutual funds, no ETFs. I don't want to get down in the weeds too much in this. But with 403b plans, you're limited in terms of what your investment choices are. And this would open the door to that, okay? And then in the last one, employees who work at small businesses, would have more access to, would have greater access to a retirement plan. And for instance, employers with up to 50 workers would be able to offset more planned startup costs, okay, than they would be without this Secure Act 2.0. Small businesses would also be eligible for a tax credit for their defined contribution plans if they allow their spouses of their employees that happen to be serving in the military to participate in the plan within 2 months of joining the plan. So not waiting a year, which is a requirement by law now, but only having to wait 2 months. That's awesome. So, you know, as we wrap up here, let's make this crystal clear. The Secure Act 2.0 is not law. It is receiving a great deal of bipartisan support. You know, I before I came in here, I kind of Googled the difference between nonpartisan and bipartisan. Nonpartisan just means that one side or the other, Republicans and Democrats, aren't particularly offended by it. Mm-hmm. Bipartisan means it has the support of both parties. I don't know what's going to stop this. I think that it will pass, and everything I've read indicates that it will. But what it's going to do is provide, you know, a more nimble and accessible glide path to retirement than we have right now, with a lot of catch-up contributions, with incentives, with being able to allocate the matching contribution to student loans. Awesome. Hey, thanks for the calls, everyone. Thanks for the questions. We will see you next week.
I think to myself, what a wonderful